this will naturally increase the conversion rate of your offers. Those four traits will ensure that your offer is likely a value-driven decision versus solely a price-driven decision. And that's our entire goal. Welcome to Rescale, where I share the lessons I've learned while building our firm into a leading residential investment service company. My hope is that you use these lessons to optimize your real estate business and or holdings, and maybe someday we can partner with you to help you grow even more. Hope you share and enjoy. Cheers. Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Rescale. My name is Scott Ottenreith. I am your host. Today we're going to be discussing how to get more of your offers accepted. Chances are, if you are a real estate investor, at least an active one, you're probably making offers consistently. If you are an active investor and you're not making offers consistently, you should be doing that. So let's say you're making offers and just some offers are just not sticking. And I'll be the first one to say that naturally, as an investor, the conversion rate is low to begin with. And I'm not going to deny that. It just is what it is. You're offering to buy properties at a discount. So, and a lot of people don't like selling at a discount, obviously. But there are some things that you can do to increase the likelihood slightly of your offer being accepted. And the best way that I can kind of describe this is if someone lists their home for sale and they get five offers, then they're all traditional, like conventional loan, 25% down, 10-day due diligence period, 30-day close. Naturally, they're going to look at and make a price-driven decision. Which one nets me the most? That's what they're going to do. And instead, we need to somehow get them to think in a value-driven perspective. What are things that this person is doing outside of the price that are super valuable? And that's what I want to discuss today. How to set yourself apart from just the price alone. Obviously, the price is a very important aspect, especially for the typical homeowner. This is the largest asset that they have, right? Of course, they want to make the most money that they can, but there are still some things that you can do to maybe increase the likelihood that maybe they sell for a little bit less, right? So that's what we'll discuss. I think the first one, and maybe one of the most important ones, is being first. Being the first call to a listing agent, letting them know that you are interested in that home. Being the first one that when that price is reduced, you give them a call. When that home is back on the market, you are the first call. And I think that says a lot of things. That one, you're actively looking. You're not, you know, I can't tell you how many times when we list portfolios for people. When we list the home on a Thursday and that Monday morning, the amount of investors that call me, it is hilarious. I'm like, sorry, man, we're under contract. Like we have 10 offers. Of course, we'll entertain what they want to propose, but I haven't built a relationship with them in time to actually get and talk terms with them, right? And actually build rapport. Right? So being the first call means a lot, not only to the listing agent, but also potentially the seller as well, right? The second one is your ability to be flexible with your timeline that matches the seller's timeline. Now, obviously the gut reaction to that is, I can move fast. I can close in 7 days. That's great. Some people don't want to sell in 7 days. You need to be able to communicate to the selling party that you are flexible with your timeline as well, and you can kind of provide the dream scenario, the dream closing for the seller. Now, some of those things may be, it may be a fast due diligence period, but it might be a long close of escrow date, right? It may be you inspect the home. Maybe they can't allow anyone to see the home for 7 days. Okay, well, we'll inspect it after 7 days. Like, of course, this is kind of common sense things, but you would be surprised how many people force their timeline upon the sellers. It happens all the time, and it drives me crazy. It's like, if you, as a buyer, especially an investor, can just adjust your timelines just a little bit, the amount of deals that you would get by doing that would increase significantly. The other thing, if you are comfortable with it, is being able to provide a post occupancy. Now, I know that there's obvious risk there. I'm not saying there's not, right? And there are times to do it and times to not. But if it traditionally, we've made a lot of deals work, especially recently, with post occupancies because a lot of people are strapped for cash and they need the equity from the home to be able to buy or move wherever they need to go. And you can save them money by them not having to move twice. Because what's happening is we're seeing a lot of people go to Airbnbs or moving in with their parents and getting a storage unit for a little bit and then going because they need the money from their home, right? It's just another tool that you can input into your offer to make it that much easier for the seller, right? Because at the end of the day, as the investor, we care about getting the deal. Now, again, a post occupancy specifically is a higher risk because if they don't move out, there's a lot of things you need to make sure you're protected, and you do a post occupancy agreement, and sometimes actually doing a lease depending on how long they need to stay. But that is a way to be different than traditional buyers, because traditional buyer isn't going to do a post occupancy. They can want to move in right away, of course, right? So that's another thing. Hey everyone, the only ask I have is that you help me spread the word so that we can help more people start or continue to scale their real estate businesses and portfolios to make better decisions and in the end, make more money. The only way we can do that is if you rate and review and share this podcast. It'll take a brief second and it'll mean the world to me, but may be even more important for someone else. Thanks again. Cheers. The third one is when you make the call and you're building the relation, when you're calling the listing agent, is you are relationship based. Relationship first, the people first, the property second, right? What is the situation? What is the seller's dream scenario? And how can you guys make that happen, right? And how can they trust you as the buyer, right? I can tell like that when it's a wholesaler calling for some of our homes that we're selling. You just, because when I say, oh, cool, what have you closed on? Like, what have you bought? Send me a proof of funds. And they can never do that. And when you are making offers, you need to either, if you haven't closed on anything, okay, that's fine. You need to have your proof of funds or your pre-qual ready to go. Like you can start the process right now. You can get going. They need to be able to trust that you're going to make this deal easy for them. And if there's any sort of shadiness or any of that going on, they will not go with you, or they should not go with you. Any wise listing agent would not. But if you can come at from the perspective of, yeah, and we have the luxury of saying, and chances are is when we're buying homes, it's, yeah, we've closed on 10 in this area. Here are the 10. We can show you that we are the actual bona fide owner. And that is like a lot of credibility, and it shows that your track record is serious. So when you're approaching these conversations, you need to be relationship-based and you can build rapport with them so that they can trust you, that you're going to see through this dream scenario for the seller, right? And then fourth, the last one, is being able to communicate on the preferred platform of the selling party. I can't tell you how many times some of our competition simply just blasts out offers via email, right? And it may be right when the home is listed, but there was no conversation, right? The amount of agents that want a phone call or a text, whatever, however their form of communication, you need to be able to adapt as the buyer, or even as the acquisition person, to be able to adapt to how the selling party communicates. A lot of agents love text messages. So you can start a conversation on a text message, right? My order of operations and what we do as a team is usually we're doing a phone call first. If they don't answer the phone, we leave a voicemail and then we're shooting them a text. And if they don't get if they don't answer the text after a short period of time, cool, we'll send them an email and we cover all of our bases. They're going to see one of them, right? And I think if you are kind of batting yourself in a corner to just do one form of communication, again, something is better than nothing, but I think you're leaving some money on the table. Cause I think if you are able to adapt in how you're communicating with these parties, I think you get more deals locked in, right? If you're texting, if you're calling them, it's more personal. If you're just emailing, it's just not, it's more robotic, right? If you're a real tangible person, which obviously, like, if you're listening to this and you're making offers, you are, you're a real person. And let them know that. And that's how you build a relationship. So I would say, you know, kind of summarizing, if you are first, if you're fast with your communication, you're flexible with your terms, and you're focused on the people, not the home and the price, and you're able to communicate on their preferred platform, this will naturally increase the conversion rate of your offers. Those four traits will ensure that your offer is likely a value-driven decision versus solely a price-driven decision. And that's our entire goal. We want them to think about value, not just price. And that's how you set yourself apart. So I hope this was helpful. I hope that you can incorporate it into your offers, into your business, whatever you're doing. And I appreciate everyone for tuning in and taking a listen.